422 LECTURESONANCIENTPHILOSOPHY. In touch with the Rosicrucian activities. This thread rising. From the head is the Platonic cord, a fine hypothetical line. Which unites the personality to its own causal part. According to the Hermetic axiom of analogy, as the spirit and body of man are connected by a thread, so heaven and earth, the spirit and body of the solar man, are united by this swaying ladder, which, lowered from above, becomes the way of soul's descent into life. Cronus, with his reaping scythe, is the guardian of this rope, and at his will the line is severed and all the objective nature dissociated from its causal principle. This thread, then, is Bifrost, the bridge of the gods, over the I'm. Mortals like the Aesir of Scandinavia crossed before its final severance when returning to their sacred castle. Like the builders of the fated Tower of Babel, the worldly wise men of CRCS vision sought to elevate personality above principle and draw the body above its own source, hence their ultimate discomfiture. By attempting to elevate an impermanent NA tour to a divine state, they attempted the impossible, and so death, the master of processes, cut down each one in turn. For that man does not exist who shall be empowered to reach heaven in his physical nature. The cords are the faith and power that sustain the individual during the prime of his life. But like life itself, power is a physical uncertainty, and neither wealth, position, nor physical knowledge can support the soul in that dread extremity which men are pleased to term death. In his vision of the apocalypse, the initiate, known to the Christians as St. John the Divine, experienced in his ascent to heaven the spiritual mystery of climbing upward through the seven congregations or churches which arc in Asia, finally coming to the door in the heavenly vault and passing through into the Empyrean to find himself in the presence of the Lord of the Cherubim and the Paschal Lamb. St. John is described as being in the spirit, a good old Neoplatonic term. From this we are to infer that the Gnostic initiate had learned the mystery of the rope swinging from heaven, for according to tradition he had climbed his way hand over hand in approved nautical fashion. Mohammed, a prudent man of more portly THEL adder OFTHEGODs 423. Build, overtaxed the meager facilities of a knotted rope and consequently employed, if we are to believe the accounts, a safer and more commodious rope ladder in his ascent. In substance, however, the experiences of the two initiates were practically identical, and though slight differences exist in the terminology of the symbolism, nevertheless the principle involved demon straits that both men had been initiated St. John presumably by the Gnostics and Mohammed by the Nestorian Christians. St. John the Divine employed seven great Asiatic cities to symbolize the spiritual knots or ganglia, which placed at intervals along the rope assisted the climber in his difficult task. Mohammed's rope ladder was of golden cords and its rungs prism. Ably were fashioned from the substances of the seven worlds. He was forced, it is said, to stop at each of the seven gates to receive the adoration of the patriarchs, who had apparently waited since their demise for his coming. There is also an East Indian fable of the goddess Kundalini, who, being of an inquisitive mind and seeing a rope hanging from heaven with its lower end concealed in impenetrable gloom, decided to climb down this rope and investigate the unknown darkness below. Having descended the rope for an incalculable period, Kundalini discovered that its lower end rested upon an island that seemed to float in the midst of a great sea of darkness. While exploring this strange island, the rope was cut from above, and Kundalini was left floating in the midst of a vast ocean. In terror, the goddess ran and hid herself in a cave and refused to come out. In the secret teachings, it is revealed that she could be induced to come forth from her asylum only by an aggregation of wise men who, with offerings, supplications, and grave discoursings, finally persuaded her to leave her gloomy retreat. The goddess Kundalini is the spirit fire that descends the mysterious ladder, which is here emblematic of the umbilical cord. When this cord is cut, the goddess is left stranded in the underworld. Alarmed, she hides in the great cavern of the sacral plexus, there to remain coiled up as a serpent, as her name implies, until the sage can lure her forth again by holy observances. 424 LECTURESONANCIENTPHILOSOPHY. Never should we lose sight of the relationship between the processes of the physical body and the universal orders. The umbilical cord is not only the divine ladder in the case of the goddess Kundalini, but is symbolic also of that spiritual cord by which man is ever suspended from his divine parent. While man's outer nature is nourished by physical food and drink, his inner nature receives life from the universal parent transmit by means of ethereal cords analogous to the umbilicus. In the Shinto mysteries of Japan, the luring of an obstinate goddess from her pout was a grave problem. The goddess of the sun, Amaterasu Omikami, had quarreled with the other celestials, and giving vent to her anger, hide herself, light and all, into a dark cavern, thus leaving the heavenly world in a condition of deplorable gloom. Realizing that the temperament of the goddess was endangering the whole order of creation, the immortals finally lured her forth by a stratagem which appealed to her vanity. They fashioned a great mirror even as the Titans polished the surface of the universe that Bacchus might see his face therein. Standing this mirror in front of the cavern, they made a great ado as though in celebration of some fortuitous circumstance. Chagrined at the thought that the gods could be happy without her, Amaterasu came to the cavern and trance and peered out to discover the cause of their merriment. As she looked, she saw her own face, surrounded by a halo of light, reflected in the mirror. Wondering who this radiant person could be and terrified by the possibility that the gods had somewhere discovered a new sun goddess, Amaterasu slowly approached the entrance of the cave, only to see the radiant figure in the mirror also increasing in splendor. At last, overcome by her jealousy, she dashed from the cave to discomfit the rival sun goddess, whereupon the other celestials who had gathered above the cavern entrance dropped a net over the irate goddess as she rushed forth, thereby preventing her escape and ensuring that the sun should again light the world. Amaterasu and her mirror are household words in every Shinto home, and even the august imperial line regards the sun goddess as its founder, and her mirror is carried in the coronation ceremonials. Tihi Ladder of the Gods. 425. The luring of the light out of darkness is an allegory fre quently employed by many ancient writers on mysticism. It represents the effort of material man to evoke, by discipline and fetish, that lucid or rational part of himself which for some temperamental reason refuses to make itself known. Offended by the crassness of the outer life, the aesthetic and superphysical attributes of the soul retire into the uttermost recesses of the nature, there to await that more auspicious day when the awakening individual will concern himself with the nobler issues of life. The sages who ponder the problem of enticing the goddess from retirement signify the rational mind, the gods, and the intuitive instincts, while the priest represents the regenerated emotions. All these, holding solemn conclave together, finally lure the rational soul from its dark abode that Its radiance may benefit the whole life. The invoking of the soul is possible only to those who have assumed the great work and resolved to live with the concerns of the spirit. Paramount. Through virtue, integrity, and aesthetics the soul life is thus caused to diffuse its power throughout the nature, thereby quickening the parts and rendering the whole more responsive to divine impulse. From a consideration of these various allegories it becomes evident that the latter signifies the thread or cord from which the generating soul is suspended from its monadic, or ungenerated part. The God of the philosophic elect is not technically a being, but rather this monad, or universal self. Approach to deity is consequently the elevation of the life to unity with its monadic cause. The abode of this monad is the true heaven world, for heaven merely signifies the state of the one divorced from all quality or condition whatsoever and abiding in the felicity of its own nature, without beginning and without end. Thus the ascent of the ladder and the climbing of the knotted cord are both emblematic of man's ceaseless climb toward self. It is the retirement of life along the lines of its own first emanation, the natural ascent of the wise to wisdom, the virtuous to virtue, the beautiful to beauty, and the good to the enduring state of good. The latter, then. 426 LECTURESONANCIENTPHILOSOPHY. Bridges that mysterious fourth dimensional interval of quality. Described in Chapter X, it is the symbolic figure under which are concealed the tedious processes of crossing that vast interval between diversity and unity. The latter is the bridge of reason, the way of the gods. The stepped pyramid is significant of man's instinctive urge to build toward cause, and all action which tends to elevate, ennoble, or perfect may be conceived of as pyramidal, dia. Grammatically considered. Thus in his discourse to his son on initiation, Hermes declares that the heart was built like a pyramid, in that the heart is the seat of aspiration, and aspiration is the universal building power. As the unknown God dwelt within the deepest recesses of the great pyramid, so a mysterious spirit dwells within the heart, man's house of the hidden places. The pyramid builders differed from all other architects because of the purpose for which their edifices were constructed. All men are builders, a few in permanent things, the many in impermanent things. St. Paul calls himself a master builder, by which he intimated that he had been initiated into that body of elect artisans banded together to the erection of everlasting houses. The pyramid thus became the symbol of those called together by an inner rationality who, moved by a divine intelligence, heaped up realities that they might form mountains, as it were, up which the aspiring soul could climb in its search for heaven. While many were cutters of stone, hewers of wood, and carriers of water, they were but apprentices of the noble art, not having heard as yet the call that inclines the soul away from temporal accomplishments to the building of those enduring monuments to qualities and convictions. The mystic masons, so we are told, built their lodges either upon the mountain tops or deep in the valleys, thus obscurely intimating that the mysteries, while in their own nature lofty institutions, in the service of mankind descended into the depths of matter to effect the redemption of the human soul. God appeared to the patriarchs as a cloud over some lofty mountain top, and his voice thundered among the summits.